Good morning.
Alison, welcome back to Susie. And
thank you.
Another art exhibition, contemporary art this time, which, it can go up any avenue you like, I think, can't it?
It can, yes. That's the whole fun of the experience of finding place, I think.
That's what it's all about, finding place. Because, I mean, some of the stuff you sent me actually, it kind of reflects what a lot of people would think was contemporary art. It's basically a chair, and it looks like it's on top of a whole pile of orange balls or onions. Not quite sure which.
I think sort of alien-esque monstrous eggs, I think, is the official line of what they can be. But they can be whatever you want them to be.
Alien eggs,
that's right.
You've got to be a bit special to work that one out. I mean, I've got to say, how did you get to that?
Okay, so this is a piece of work by an artist called Mary Moda, and she makes work from objects that have feminist and monstrous themes that, and different undertones. We've kind of chosen Mary to be, we've got a huge group of artists for this exhibition. So, and we've chosen Mary because of her relationship to objects. So we wanted to work very much with finding a place for the ancient prior's building itself, which is where the exhibition's being held. It's a currently disused building. It used to be the old ASK or Ask Italian restaurants in the high street that closed during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to take this building, and we have got some history of the building, but we don't have its original objects. We don't have the a sort of family lineage of people that still live there. So we kind of wanted to reimagine what this space might look like using contemporary artists. So that's how we've come to finding place, and then that ties up with the themes of the local pop-up culture program in how we find place in our local area for artists and musicians and increase the arts and culture in Crawley itself.
Mm. I mean, it's always been a fairly slightly left field type thing as this kind of art. And I may have been a bit jovial about it at the beginning, but this, once these things are explained and what the artist is actually thinking about, you go, oh yeah, I got it now. It just takes a bit of sparking of the mind, doesn't it?
It does. And I think, I mean, I since I last spoke to you, I've graduated with the first class honours in fine arts.
Ooh, get you. Well done.
I know. I was quite surprised myself, to be honest. and I'm now studying at the Royal College of Arts. And I'm very much, my focus on part of my research is very much around relationality and how audiences engage with the work directly. And I really want to close this gap of people walking into what's sort of known as a traditional white cube and how they directly relate to the work. So I would really love people to walk in and feel that they understand, or like you say, if they don't understand, they can find that knowledge quite quickly. So the barriers are dissembled into how people can actually access the work itself, and hopefully takes down the barriers of people wanting to engage as well.
Mm, yeah, you mentioned there are lots of other artists taking place. Are they mainly local, or are we talking an international variety of artists to come and display?
Yeah, we've got everyone. We have got everyone. So we've gone quite a far reach. From local artists, the most famous would be Sarah Maple. She's a very well-established contemporary artist, but she actually also lives in Crawley.
Yeah.
We've done an open call with a separate project with support, again, from the pop-up culture and the council to actually entice local artists. So there's actual local, lesser known, I would say unknown, because some of them are more known than others, for them to take place as well. And then we have got a variety of what we call flat work artists, so your painters, drawings, text-based art through to sculptures, object-based, text-based. We've got my work back from the Manufactured Body Project. We've got an American gentleman called Max Adams, who's made these absolutely stunning wire relief sculptures that represent a variety of history of pottery. Mm. There's so much depth to this, and there's so many layers. We've got an artist called Dora Perini, who is specifically been commissioned to make work specifically for the kitchen of the building. It's going to be based around food. We have got severed heads.
Oh, lovely. There's just what everybody needs.
Exactly. And then we've got video installations, and then we've got paintings, flat works. So hopefully there'll be something that relates to everybody in some way.
Yeah. Now the thing that's sprung to me with this is that there are certain artists who are seriously rich and sell lots of paintings at lots of prices, but the vast majority don't and aren't actually in it for the money, are they?
That's correct.
Yeah, it's more a vocation. It's almost a vocation, and then all of a sudden something clicks and off they go, which is wonderful. But you put this together. I mean, you're an artist, you're a curator, yes. But you haven't done it on your own, have you?
No, I've had help from Sophie Nowakowski, who's also a curator, and collaboration. I mean, this is a massive collaborative project in terms of how we've worked with the artists and, more importantly, how we've worked with the pop-up culture with Paul and Word Festival Crawley. So it's collaborative on many, many different levels.
Well, you mentioned Paul there. Paul Ackley's with us, working for, if I've got, because I have it written down here before you say a word, Paul. It's Creatives Across Crawley. Now, I got confused originally because I also talk with somebody else who does stuff in Crawley and talking about Creative Crawley, but this is not. This is, I'm guessing you're all part of the same sort of local family, all trying to promote and put together or bring together the best of local art.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to begin by contradicting you. That sounds very rude, but it's Creatives Across Sussex.
You're not being rude at all. If I get it wrong, tell me, for goodness sakes.
But I don't mind you mentioning Crawley several times, because it is all about Crawley. I'm one of those. I mean, it's just great to be working with Alison and to have someone like Alison in our midst, because I'm one of those people that is meant to sit in the background on this one, really. I'm a bridge builder. I'm the Creatives Across Sussex, myself in particular. I've offered myself up to Crawley and the steering group that oversee what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is reanimate all of the disused spaces, or repurpose, or get people who run existing spaces to reimagine how they can be used for culture. So we are the bridge builder, the connectors, really. And so without visionaries like Alison, who is a curator, producer, who is one of those people we're trying to reach out to, who has a vision to bring something cultural to Crawley, who wants to use that space because there's nobody in it, and we help to get that space opened up, and we try and remove as many of the hurdles as possible, so that for a period of time Alison ends up with a key and a blank canvas and can basically explore the possibilities.
Sounds absolutely, and then
we go away.
Sounds absolutely fascinating.
Melt into the background.
Yes, you mentioned sort of derelict spaces or unused spaces, and the ancient priors, which Alison mentioned, was that one of the ones on your list?
Yes. Yes, very, very much so. I mean, it's really charismatic. It hasn't been taken up commercially. It could be sold any time. It could be leased at any time. But for the time being, we want to. It's a valuable piece of infrastructure, and Crawley's ancient high street. Part of what we do, and part of what Alison's doing, as well as supporting audiences in Crawley to experience something completely new, we're also interested in telling the rest of the county about it, telling the rest of the country about it, connecting Crawley artists, Crawley cultural conversations with others, stimulating ones that are going on across the country. So, yeah, Crawley, people imagine Crawley to be a particular thing, I think. I was born in Coventry, so, you know, I've been dealing with that conversation for many years. But the ancient high street, people don't imagine this medieval high street, and the ancient priors is 15th century building.
Yeah. Well, I know Crawley. I used to live very near Crawley many, many years ago. And the thing that strikes me with Crawley is how much and how fast it is progressing, because in those days it was just seen as a new London overspill town, and there wasn't a lot of character or anything to it. But it would seem there's a very thriving cultural and arts, what's the word I'm looking for? Community, I suppose, is the best word for it. Arts and community in the town, which is, well, moving the image of the town quite rapidly.
Well, absolutely. I'm going to hand over to Alison in a moment, but you mentioned earlier about the extended family. Yes, we work with Creative Crawley, Crawley College, the museum, Dance Hub, Audio Active, whole WordFest, of course, is a partner in this particular project. Companies from outside of Crawley as well are really knocking on the door, wanting to bring and showcase some of what they do. And Creative Playground. So we are working as an extended family.
It all sounds rather really good. And it sounds to me like it's a wonderful alternative to having to trundle on the train up to London or going down to Brighton, where things can be, well, slightly more hectic.
Of course.
Alison, you've got Finding Places. It's on next week. It starts next Friday, the 22nd. It's at the Ancient Priors on the High Street. And you've already said you've got lots and lots of, artists displaying works there. I mean, is it all just about the displaying work, or is there going to be the opportunity for those who like something, find something they like, to be able to buy it?
So we're not directly selling the works on the site. However, the audiences are more than welcome. We will be providing all the information for the artists, so the artists can be contacted directly for any work that wants to be purchased. We have got lots of different strategies for audience engagement at the site. We have got Elizabeth Ulster running something called a body mapping workshop, which is different ways you can learn to draw using your body. We're doing that twice on Saturday the 24th. That is completely free, although we do need people to book tickets for that on Eventbrite. And then I am running a sketchbook making workshop on the Sunday, which we might repeat later in the day. We're just trying to understand logistics of it all at the moment. But so we'll give the audience an actual chance to make their own work. And then this project is going to be launching another local summer exhibition, which is going to take place in July, which will give further information at the actual event. And then that will be on the Pop-Up Culture's social media site over the coming months. So again, it will give another opportunity for the local community to get involved and put their artworks up. And I think that's kind of the main purpose. You know, this gives the younger community and other artists in the area a kind of platform to go, okay, so this is what it looks like when professionals are working. So how can we, where do we go? How do we become artists and hopefully find that as sort of an inspiring finding place for themselves?
Yeah, I'm just blown away by just how much there is involved in all of this. How long is it taking you to put this together? Silly question, I know.
It's a really good question. So I've been working on this since last year. So when we put the manufactured body project together last year, which again was supported by Paul and Liz at Crawley Borough Council, this put a lot of the infrastructure in place that I used for this project. So with this one, it was just taking on a different theme and putting the workshops together. I think best part of 8 months I've been working on this behind the scenes, and then this has been a full-time job since about January. But it's one of those things, like, how do you measure how much time spent on something when you enjoy doing it so much? Because you just do it, you want to do it, you want to work on it. It's and you want to kind of find a place for all these artists that you see working so hard. And like you say, Tony, they don't all sell their own work. So it's how they sustain their own practice, you know, in the world and financially. And these are sort of discussions that don't always take place in the public.
It's a pure love, isn't it, really? That's the point I was trying to make, really, that there's not, for many, many artists, there's not huge financial gain to be done.
No.
But there's unbelievable pleasure in sort of showing the work that you've done and actually doing some of the work and the challenges that are involved in that.
100%, 100%. And, you know, as a society in the UK, we pop down, you know, our local stores and buy artworks that are sold, reprints. But there is just so much original artwork out there that people can purchase. Mm-hmm. you know, even if it's a photograph of some of these installations, it's absolutely fascinating. Yeah. So a lot of the artists are going to be on site. I think all of them are on site for the private view. I know a lot of them are staying for as much of the weekend as they can. Obviously, a lot of them are travelling from all over the country. And again, we encourage the audience to speak with them and just find out more. And I've encouraged a lot of the artists as well to show, sort of to bring leaflets around their other work, because obviously we can't put everything in the exhibition. So,
You pretty much managed to do most of that anyway. I was going to ask you, I mean, in amongst all of that, because I think you were very modest when I said, how long did it take you to put this together? And you laughed and said, oh, you know, 8 months or so. And then, you know, but, you know, earlier on, you just said you just finished qualifying or passing, what was it you said, PhD, was it?
It was a BA in Fine Art with honours.
BA in Fine Art. So do you have letters after your name now?
I do, and I'm just doing my Masters of Fine Art and postgraduate at the Royal College of Art.
Yeah.
And Fine Arts and Humanities. And yeah, I'd like to do a PhD afterwards. Just
it's all on top, all on top of organising all this stuff. Where do you find the time to eat?
I don't. No, I do. I'm just really passionate about it, and I'm very good at tying things together. So I try and I do something called what they call practice research. So everything I'm doing is a piece of research that builds on a previous piece of research. So you're not going to, I mean, you might do, but at the moment you're not going to find me with a painting canvas in my hand and just suddenly painting a picture. Everything links. There's a much bigger body of theoretical research that sits behind all of this, and practical as well, and understanding these sort of everyday things like risk assessments and how, just how the logistics of these things work. But
so it's the real world meets art you're talking about, really, there, I think, when you start talking risk assessments.
Could I chip in there? Could I chip in?
Of course you can.
Because when you were saying earlier about the economic value, I mean, I think it's fair to say, and my statistics are about 8 years old, that artists don't earn a huge amount in general, across the board, on average. However, there is a real economic development benefit to this. I mean, Alison, you're setting up your own business initiative. The actual value of having skilled practitioners in a town centre, in a place like Crawley, bringing in such a range of other practitioners who, regardless of their economic circumstances, are drawing attention to Crawley. They're making it a more interesting and enriched place for other people to spend time in. And, you know, that all does generate an economic value. And you mentioned a colleague I'm working with, Liz, from Crawley Borough Council. I have worked independently for 7 local authorities over the last 20 years, and I can't evidence this on radio. You can look at my emails if you're really interested, but I am going to say that Crawley is the most enlightened and collegiate local authority I have ever worked with, allowing us independent voices to be able to access these resources and create a really fascinating cultural experience for residents. That is brilliant.
I was going to say, it's always good to have support of your local authority, and some, are more supportive than others. Alison, it's the Finding Places Contemporary Art Exhibition, and it's from the 22nd to the 25th of March at the Ancient Priors in Crawley. You'll be able to find details of that along with this conversation at susieradio.com before very long. The admission for this, by the way, is free. And well, Alison, take a break at some point, get something to eat, because I know you'll get hungry. Well done for putting this all together, and may it be an enormous success, and come back and talk to us about the event you've got later on in the year, will you?
I would absolutely love to. And yeah, just a massive thank you, like Paul said. There is just so much support for this, and everyone is working together, which makes this just such a fantastic, unique experience. And just to reiterate everything Paul has said, you know, it really is, there's a fantastic ecosystem that's creating from this. So yeah, we'd love to come back. Thank you so much for having us, Tony.
That's wonderful. Paul Ackerley and Alison Dullery, thank you for talking to us.